In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The lawyer, wanting to justify himself. It's all right there in those few words. How simple and to the point they describe the sinful instincts and intentions of our human hearts, the way we desire to save ourselves, the way we strive to stand before God on the basis of our works, to earn our righteousness before Him, to merit our worthiness. That's the prideful, self-sufficient attitude with which the lawyer approached the Lord Jesus and asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He heard the answer with the same sort of prideful, self-sufficient ears. So do we all, by sinful nature, approach the word of our Lord with the same sort of questions and the same sort of ears, wanting to justify ourselves. We come to the Holy Scriptures as though they were a little instruction book for salvation by works, asking what we must do to inherit eternal life. This legalistic, self-righteous approach is especially prevalent in the case of the Good Samaritan, which is so often misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misconstrued. The typical and moralistic interpretation is that you should become like the Good Samaritan. You should go out of your way to love your neighbor by caring for the needy, for example, doing good deeds of charity, and so on. In short, Jesus was telling you what to do. And of course, there's some truth to that. Twice, Jesus plainly says, "Do this." Clearly, then, he was telling you to do something, to love God completely and your neighbor as yourself. And so our Lord does preach the law. But that's not the whole story. In fact, it's not even the main point. Jesus does far more here than to preach the law to you, the law that always accuses, the law that condemns you in your sin. Now, what is far more important in this story is the preaching of the gospel. The gospel that tells you not what you should be doing for God, but rather what God is doing for you. The gospel of your Savior, Jesus Christ, who has loved you completely and still does, who has died for you and paid for your salvation with his own blood. You see, the main point to this story is not that you should somehow get your act together and become like the Good Samaritan. On your own, that won't ever happen. Not ever. But no, the main point to this story is that Jesus is your Good Samaritan, who has found you lying in a ditch somewhere, bruised and badly beaten by your sin. And he has paid the greatest price of all to heal you of your injuries and to take you home to himself in heaven. In hearing what happened to that poor man on his way to Jericho, you hear a description of what has happened to us all because of our sin. And then as the story continues, you also hear the way in which Jesus, your Good Samaritan, has saved you from your sin and from its consequences by taking your otherwise hopeless situation onto himself. The Good Samaritan put the man upon his own donkey and carried him to the safety of an inn. And likewise, for you and your salvation, Jesus took your sin and your misery and sickness and death upon himself. As St. Peter writes, he himself carried your sins in his own body on the cross. And on the basis of that cross and sacrifice, he has carried you out of danger and into the safety of his church. That's precisely what salvation means. In spite of all that, unfortunately, even as one who has been saved by grace alone and called to live by faith alone in Christ Jesus, your Savior. It is far too often the case that you still evaluate yourself not on the basis of this precious gospel, by which, for Jesus' sake, you measure up completely in God's eyes all the time, but rather on the basis of the law, according to what you have or haven't been doing, whether that be good or bad. Like the lawyer in our gospel, we are forever asking what we must do to inherit eternal life. Because our sinful human pride just can't stand the thought of grace alone, of being God's charity case. For that is what grace is, charity. And so, as I have said, by sinful human nature, you're always wanting to fall back on your own works, as though the gospel needed help, as though the death of God and the holy precious blood he shed for you was somehow not quite enough. You want to be able to say, hey, look at me. Look at what I accomplished. Now, of course, by all means, you should certainly be eager to live a God-pleasing life. The law of God has been fulfilled by Christ, but it is still his good and holy will. And the law of God still demands, without any room for compromise, that you must love the Lord your God completely and your neighbor as yourself. That is what God requires. And as his child in particular, you are compelled to obey. As Jesus says, go and do likewise. But the fact also remains, you will never satisfy the law yourself. No matter how good your intentions might be, no matter how sincerely you might try with all your might, you will never keep the law as you should, to perfection. Like St. Paul in Romans 7, you know the right thing, but you are constantly not doing it. Instead of being like the Good Samaritan, you're more like the robbers who beat the guy up in the first place, or at best, like the priest and the Levite who passed him by on the other side of the road. Which is why you must look to the gospel exclusively and alone for your salvation, and why you must fall completely on the mercy and compassion of the only Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ. For he has saved you from yourself, from your sin and its eternal consequences. He has delivered you from death and eternal punishment. He has not gotten rid of God's law, but he has already kept that law perfectly for you and on your behalf. So that even now and forever you rely on your Good Samaritan, who continues to provide for you with his means of grace. That gospel word and holy sacrament with which Christ takes care of you and provides for you at the inn of his church. For by your baptism into Christ and through all the means of grace, you are now and forever united with Christ by faith, so that you receive from God all that Christ has obtained for you, which means that you will inherit eternal life. But not because of anything that you have done, rather because you are united with Christ by faith through his word of forgiveness in the waters of your baptism and by the body and blood of your Savior. On his account, God now looks at you and treats you as his own dear son. As St. Paul writes, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And that is also how you do now go and do likewise, to live like the Good Samaritan. For in being united with Christ by faith, you have also become a new creation. It is no longer you who live, St. Paul writes, but Christ lives in you. just as your baptism indicates, your old Adam, with all of his sinful lusts and desires, is drowned and destroyed by daily repentance, so that in clinging to Christ and his mercy by faith, he is now raised up in you as the new man who lives before God in righteousness and purity forever. In other words, because you have truly been united to the one and only Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, he now recreates you in his image to be a Good Samaritan in him. He now lives his perfect life in you, and so also through you as his own. And because this Good Samaritan himself is the very substance of the gospel, his life in you is now a demonstration of that gospel to the world, to your neighbor. So it is that in loving your neighbor, including all those people that God brings into your life, by your words and by your deeds, you demonstrate the love that God has for you, the love of Christ, who died for you and shed his blood for you, for all people, to rescue us all from our sins, to heal our wounds of sickness and death, to care for us through his church, and finally to provide us with permanent lodging in his heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.